But the last time I read my Bible is that whatsoever we ask in the name of Jesus, it shall be done. The Bible said, ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. And then he said what? Come on, he said what? I can't hear you. Help me say knock. Knock. And he said it shall. It shall. It shall be open. And if you believe it, come on, put your hands together and give God praise. Come on, give him praise. Give him praise. Understand how you feel, but choir, y'all not finished singing. Come on. Amen. Come on, choir. My. That's all. That's it. I need another soprano. Sister done had it.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Praise the Lord. Y'all, by now, y'all already know what time it is for me. Every time I hear that song, it gets my motor running. I'm up, I'm jumping, I'm getting my little holy dance. I've been practicing it, getting it right, because I used to be doing the camel walk. But I'm here to tell y'all I done danced enough that I done got my two and my three steps together now. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Good morning, good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall, we must rejoice and be glad in it. The songwriter says Jesus is on the main line. Tell him what you want. I'm going to be the first to tell him what I want. Father, I want more of you. I want more of you, Lord Jesus. Whatever it is that you want to give to me, I want it, and I want it all, Father. I'm coming to you wholeheartedly, Father. So I'm asking you, Lord, to fill me up all the way. So I hope and pray that each and every last one of you know whatever your petitions are, whatever your prayers are, whatever it is that you're asking God to do, don't have a closed mouth about it. Talk to him, tell him, let him know what it is that you need, even your wants. Let God know. You talk to God, commune with him. It does not matter where you're at, what you're doing. There is no excuse. That's all I can say. There is no excuse. So good morning, Nigeria. Good morning, South Africa. Good morning, Canada. Good morning, Fiji. Good morning to all our international partners. And we're definitely not going to leave our stateside partners out. Once again, we thank you for coming in this morning to come at the head of the table at our executive meeting. Sit around the table at our executive meeting where we put God first, our first priority. And we just say thank you this morning. Glory, hallelujah. Just thanking you for your presence. Thanking you that knowing that we are on one accord at one time right now. Doesn't matter what time it is where you're at. But I'm going to tell you what time. time it is. It's God's time. It's time for the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us and give us our daily manna and our water that will keep us to at a place where we will never thirst again. So that is what time it is. I don't care if it may be 12 p.m. over there in Africa, but right now we are on Jesus' time. So that's what makes it so beautiful, that we have a connection with the one and one true and only God. So I say again to you all, good morning. Thank you. Happy Friday. Happy fabulous Friday. Happy faithful Friday. Whatever it is that you would like to call it, just thank God that he gave you an opportunity to be here one more time to get things better, to do things the right way. So I'm just going to say I am grateful. I am grateful that God chose me. Good morning. Good morning. It's time for our morning prayer. Please bring on the morning prayer.
Amen. Good morning, saints. Once again, thank you for tuning in with us at our executive meeting with the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Thank you. Thank you. It's always an awesome thing to have you tuned in with us. And we thank you, God, for being the head of all of this, oh God. We thank you, God, for coming here and bringing us into a place, God, of reassurance that you are doing the things that you're doing, oh God. We thank you, God, for this day, oh God, for waking us up this morning, oh God. We thank you, God, for bringing us into all trueness, oh God, trueness of you, oh God. As today, oh God, as we walk out into this world, oh God, may we continue to stay with you, God, in the pocket of you, oh God, nestled into your hole, into your soul, oh God, into the wholeness of you, oh God, till we can continue to walk strongly and boldly with you, oh God. May we continue, oh God, to seek your face like never before, oh God. And may we continue, God, to stay with you, oh God. May we let nothing deter us, oh God, deter our emotions, God, our feelings, our strength, our walk with you, oh God. May we stay steadfast in this walk with you, oh God, and continue to push no matter what, oh God. We thank you, God, for this strength, oh God. We thank you, God, for the mercy that you lay forth, oh God. We thank you, God, for the salvation that you have of our life, oh God. We thank you for the joy, oh God. We thank you for the peace, oh God. We thank you for this fantastic Friday, this fruitful Friday that you're bringing forth in our life, oh God. Because truly, God, we're walking to see the presence of you, oh God. That's fruitfulness, God, and joy. And this brings no sorrow, God. And your word does not come back void, oh God. We thank you, God, for this, oh God. We thank you, for God, for the things that you're doing right now. We thank you for the homes that you're building up. We thank you, God, for the hearts that you're mending, God. We thank you for the minds that you're mending, God. We thank you for the chains that you're breaking this morning, oh God. We thank you, God, for the men and women on the line, oh God, that come forth today to listen to us, oh God, to get the word of you, oh God, to get the true word of you, oh God, the true living Christ, oh God, to seek forth the enrichment of their life, oh God. We thank you for the men and women, God, that pour into us every each and every day, oh God, that give us the knowledge and instill in us the things that we need for us into life, oh God. We thank you, God, for this, oh God. We thank you, God, for the men and women, oh God, that are doing what they're doing, God, because this is a godly task, oh God. Continue to strengthen in them, oh God, so they can continue to do your work, oh God. As I, God, continue to do your work, oh God. We will walk boldly, God. We love you this day, oh God. Hallelujah, Jesus Christ, oh God. We thank you, God, for the things you're doing, oh God. We cannot thank you enough, oh God. I cannot love you enough, oh God, for the things that you're doing, oh God. We thank you, God, for this day, oh God. We thank you, God, from here to the mountaintop, we pray. It's you, oh God, we love forevermore. Continue, God, to love us the way you do, oh God. Mercifully, God. Thank you, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. It's here, God, I pray. Your name. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for that prayer, Minister Shakita. Listen, it's Friday. It's the closing of this week. And we want to end this week with our fourth point on intimacy, developing an intimate relationship with God. You all know that God has just truly, truly been showing out. And I have to just thank the Holy Spirit again over and over. I can tell the stories over and over and over. And I'm just so grateful for God's timing. How, what about that? God's timing. God knows just what we need, when we need to hear it, and what is going to give us, that's going to rejuvenate us, to bring us back up. We may have heard it before, but let me tell you something about God. When you, like I said, you may have heard something before, but see, when God realized that we're grasping things, he goes a little deeper. He goes a little wider. He said to say, oh, okay, that light bulb that came on, so I can add a little bit more. I can pour a little bit more into this. And that's what's been going on all this week. And I, like I said, I am just so thankful and grateful that my light bulb is on and I'm able to apply the things and go back into the notes that I've already taken and add to it. Because I told you all, you never know when those notes are going to come up. You never know when you're going to have to share something that God put you and sit and say, listen, this person needs to know that. So I am a person that I love when people sit and can bring the true word of God and you can actually see it. You can actually see it and know that it's not something that's just being said. So with that being said, our fourth point that we were taught was comfort. And comfort, the way it was broken down is you're in a place of peace, rest, when you lay out to God, before God, and you don't want to leave. You're in a place where if the phone rings, you don't want to answer it. You're in a place that you don't want to hear a sound. All you want to do is just lay there in the presence of the Lord, just waiting to see what is going to happen, just waiting to know that you truly, truly are there with an expectation that anything can take place, with an expectation that what you did not know on yesterday, you may know today. Where you were yesterday, you may not be there on today. With the expectation that you are in a place of receiving. You are in a place where God can just do anything. Because, see, we know that there's nothing too hard for God to do, nothing that's impossible for God, but you're at rest. And I want to say this to you, you're at peace and you're at rest. And what God rest is, I said this before, the rest of God, the rest that we're talking about and the peace we're talking about is not a rest from your daily work or physically just stop doing whatever you're doing. The time that you set aside for God, the time that you're just there in a place where it's just you and God's time and nobody else, you're not going to allow anybody else to come into that space because you realize now you are on holy ground. You are in a sacred place and you cannot let anybody or anything come and enter into where you and God have. Because see, let me tell you something about that. I got to tell you from my perspective. Somebody else's perspective may be a little bit wrong, but right now mine is what's making a difference. Let me just tell you this, because see, I know what I'm talking about. When you enter into that place, when somebody else starts trying to come and creep in, and you know that you didn't work to get there. You know that you done had to go through some times, some hard times in your life, some struggle, some embarrassment, some times that nobody but God, you know it was God that helped you get to that place. When the intruder starts trying to come in, you're going to look at them some kind of way. You're going to look at them and sit and say, how dare you try to enter into where me and God, where I'm laying before God, because see, you don't know my story. You don't know what I had to get to, go through to get to where I'm at on today. So I'm sorry. I'm sorry if I'm looking at you side-eyed. I'm sorry if I'm not opening the door. I got the door cracked and looking out, looking at you. I'm sorry that I'm just not opening up and giving you great hospitality. It's because I worked. I deserved. I fought. I scrapped. Whatever it was, I persevered. I endured. I kept moving when people would tell me to stop. I kept going on every time the daggers was placed in my back. Every time I took a stripe across my back, I kept moving. Every time the doctor said, oh, your respiratory is too bad, you got to do this, I kept on moving. I followed the instructions. But I see, one thing I did add to that, I started speaking into my situation. I started encouraging myself. I started prophesying over myself. I started decreeing and declaring and letting Satan or whomever that was sitting and praying, P-R-E-Y-I-N-G against me, that truly no weapon was going to form. Because I realized long time ago, if it wasn't for God on my side, where would I be? And once I realized that, I started having a pick-me-up moment. I got into a place where I said I need to have a sense of quietness. Yesterday on our women's meeting, we were talking about self-love, and I was able to sit and tell them that I'm getting into a place, and this only comes from my learning and listening and being in the presence of the Lord, that I needed to slow down sometimes. I need to sit. I'm a nature person. I'm a person that's drawn to water. I'm a person that's drawn to God's beauty, and I need to just sit down sometimes and just open my eyes and just enjoy the breeze, enjoy the birds chirping, enjoy the squirrels, the rabbits, just walking around, just looking at God's creation. And as I'm doing that, I'm entering into a place of peace. I'm entering in a place of rest, where if I'm open, if God has a word for me, I'm open if I want to sit and talk to God and tell him all about it, even though he knows all about it. But I'm open to do whatever it is that he's telling me to do at that time. We sometimes get a little bit too busy, and we realize we miss our time of rest. We miss our time of peace. And then the cycle just keeps going on and on and on and on. And then frustration start building up. Every little thing that comes across your ear start aggravating you. Everything that you see is a problem. And then you wonder why. You wonder why you can't sit and say, when somebody asks you how you're doing, you can't simply say, all is well. Well, I'm here to tell you today, When we're taught that the fourth component is comfort, it's a great thing. It's a great thing. On today, I can sit and say that I've arrived, but I still have to keep striving. Just because I've arrived, trust and believe, there's a long way still to go. I've came to the place that I realized that I have to make God. I have to, in the course of my day, no matter how busy, no matter what circumstances, no matter what situations, I have to put some time aside, not include him in. Understand what I'm saying. I have to put some time aside. And I'm not talking about my early worship time. I'm not talking about my 3 a.m. time when I fall to my knees. I'm not talking about my time in the night before I go to bed. I'm talking about my time throughout the day. I'm talking about setting some time aside so I can commune with God and talk with God and allow God to share some things with me as well. And that's what resting in his peace is. Not that you just stop doing everything. You just laying there. You just sitting and saying, okay, well, God say rest, and I'm not going to do nothing else. No, that rest, that comfort is knowing who he is, who you are, and knowing that he is never going to leave you nor forsake you, knowing that he will fight your battles. The battles are not yours, but they are the Lord. Knowing that he will carry you through because he loves you, knowing that he will give you that dunamis power when you are weak, knowing that he will give you access your life. He gives you that power. But what you know is that you got it honestly. You know that you got it honestly because you were in a place of comfort when it was being poured into you. You were in a place of stillness, huh? When it was being poured into you, when it was given to you, but you had to work for it. You had to work for it. But I'm reminded when I read in it, when I pulled it up last night, I'm reminded of Mary in the Bible when she sat at Jesus' feet. When Jesus came to their house, she sat at his feet. See, Mary was at his feet because she wanted to learn. It did not matter what was going on around her. Her sister Martha was doing what most people do, that she had the hospitality thing going on. She was going, making sure that everything was okay, making sure that Jesus and his disciples was getting everything that they needed. But see, what she missed the mark. What was needed at that point in time was for her to sit at his feet and receive whatever he had for her at that point in time, as Mary did. And that's what I'm sitting and telling you all right now. When you get to this point, the fourth point of comfort, you have to be so confident. You have to be at a place of confidence that you already know, that you know who God is, that you trust him, that you're connected with him. And now you can just lay back. You can lay out before him and tell it all to him. Say whatever it is that you want to say and know that he is listening, because you have applied the first three steps, the first three steps. Come on, Minister Chiquita. Come on and add something to this morning.
In comfort, there is a peace and safety with God. I find myself, when I take my breaks from work, because we are good stewards of God, we do work, and I go pray. I go sit and commune with him for that time period, that little time period, and ask him what he has me to do, and ask him what I need not to do, and ask him what I need to remove out my life, and thanking him and praising him and thanking him for the things and people that's around me. And I get peace, and it's a humbling experience within that. It's a comforting, it's peace and spirit. And I'm one of the ones that used to be out of alignment with this, because I had this weariness. I used to try to do everything myself, and it didn't keep me in a peaceful place. It kept me in a place of worryization, anguish, mental anguish, heartache, overthinking. It'll cause you to go too far overthinking in things that God don't even have you there. God didn't even go there. But you will have yourself in that place. We, like, once again, have to remove self and get into a place to where we allow God to exist in our life. We try to coexist and let God do his work. We are the stewards. We are the people that do go forth and do the footwork for God. But we are not the architect. We continue to try to control our own destiny, and it's not in our hands. We are the one to walk into it. So you have to get into a state of comfortability to where, you know, God is doing this. He's there right there beside you each and every second of the day, watching over you, watching over all of us, so we can be in this place of blessings and joy and peace and honoring him and worshiping him like never before. And it's duly needed, because in times like this, we need praying saints. We need people that's getting in alignment. We need people to do the Lord's work. But God's going to continue to pour into those that's doing this. When you're seeking his face, getting comfortable with him, nurturing your relationship with him, going forth and putting forth the three things, that nurturing your relationship, courtship, and doing these different things, courting God, seeking God, communing with him, sitting down with him, trying to figure out exactly who he is and what he has you to do in your life. It's comfort in that. because it takes your mind off of all the other mundane things that's going on around you and in the world. And you get stuck and stagnant in that place, and you don't want to get that in that. You want to keep your heart open and pure to receive the things that God have you in your life. Those are the things, are the key enrichment that what Apostle is teaching is bringing betterment to our life. It's nothing that we're just saying. This is not scripted. We get up every day. The Holy Ghost pour into us what to do, and we move forward. Blessings come from that. I get more health blessings and more spiritual blessings and more mental blessings for me getting on here every day, communing with you guys, knowing that someone wants to hear the word, knowing that someone wants to seek God's face and we're seeking God's face. It's giving me a peace and comfort in my heart. It gives me peace and comfort in my home. It's giving me peace and comfort at my job, peace and comfort in all my relationships, because the relationship that I'm building with God is pure. And it's spilling over into other places. It's spilling over in everything I do. It's spilling over. And it's all God's love going to do is spill over and spill over. Back to you, Evangelist.
Yes, yes, amen, amen. When you get to the comfort portion, excuse me, that's that peace that they talk about, that Apostle Paul talks about in Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. It says, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You're in a place, like I said earlier, where you're not worrying about anything because now you're comfortable with God. The concept that Apostle Temple taught us from this, it was a courtship, having a courtship when you have met someone and you're trusting that person, and now you're comfortable with that person. You're not worrying about who this person is and what they're going to do and how they're going to do it. You're at a place now where you're just resting, where nothing is going to bother you. You don't want anybody to take you out of that comfort zone. And that's where in Philippians 4:7, where, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. You're at a place where you don't even really understand what's going on, but all you know is you know, because you've been through a process. There's a process that you have to go through in order to get to it. So you keep moving, you keep going, and you don't allow anybody to disturb it. See, that's the problem why we can't stay into a comfort zone with God, because sometimes we ourselves too worried about what's going on around us instead of standing to the place where he has us at that time and at that moment, so he can commune with us, so he can show us love, so he can teach us some things, like how Jesus taught Mary. He taught her. She sat there. She was in a place of receiving, and that's where you and I have to be in order for us to enter into an intimate relationship. You have to be in a place of receiving at all times. You cannot pick and choose when the true unadulterated word of God is coming and teaching you some things, what you choose to pick up and what you choose not to pick up. Because see, that word is coming for a reason. That word is coming to help you build. That word is coming to help solidify your foundation. It's coming to help you go from one level to the next level. It's coming to let you know that I love you unconditionally. My love will never fail for you, but I need you to get it right, because I don't need you walking around all the time with all type of stuff going on in your mind, all type of things. Because see, when we have all these different things going on in our mind, it start bringing on other things. It start bringing on mental illness. It brings in confusion. It brings in destruction. It brings in defilement, whatever it is that you know. But that's not how it's supposed to be when you're at a comfort place. When you're at a comfort place, you're not supposed to have all of those things. You've worked those things out in the three components ahead of that. You're now at a place where, God, I'm just here, Lord. Use me. Do whatever it is, Father God. I can give y'all a testimony. In 2007, I had some legal issues going on. And when you sit and you look at it, it was things that I could not do in my position, could not. But yet I had a case. And I was like, I couldn't understand. But this is the thing. 3 years prior to that, God gave me a number, the number of 5,000. But I didn't understand what was going on at that time because I was nowhere where I'm at now. But to make a long story short, I remember my mother kept telling me, you need to rest. You need to rest. I was trying to, no, these people not going to hem me up with this. How dare this? Let me pull out all my notes. I told y'all I'm a writer. I dot my I's and cross my T's. I'm going to pull out my notes. I'm going to do this because this is what I have to do. Pulled out all the notes that didn't make a difference. I was laying in my room one day, and I laid on my floor. The Holy Spirit, it was just, I just had a relationship that I was just so, I was just drawn to him, drawn to the Holy Spirit. You know, just different things was just going on in my life, and I realized that this has nothing to do with Satan. This is all about God. And that song, Yes, I think it's by Shekinah Glory. And I would sing that song all the time. And the part that came, say, yes, Lord, I will go where you want me to go, and I will do what you want me to do. I'm saying yes, Lord. But I was spread out. I was spread out, just spread out on the floor, just talking to God like I had got into a routine of just talking to him and just being in the presence of him. And it was just me and him, just answering, just talking to him and letting him know nothing else bothered me at that time. When I entered into the place of rest and I realized that it wasn't what man was doing, that God was taking me someplace else, and I answered him, and I said, yes, I'm going to tell you all this. I don't need to go any further because I didn't told the story before. I ended up doing 3 years in the feds, and those were the three best years of my life, because let me tell you why. It wasn't what mama could do for me. It wasn't what my family could do, my husband, my children, and yes, I left them behind. But see, when God arrested me, and I'm going to say that again, God arrested me. When I went back and looked over my transcripts of my court case, because I was like, yeah, I'm going to appeal this. I'm going to appeal it. And I'm going to just tell you, I was an officer, and they charged me of changing a felon to a misdemeanor. I cannot do that. Only a judge or a police officer can do that. And from a bond, a person with that had no bond to a bond, I definitely can't do that. But these were things that were before me. These were things that I had the ability to do. And then I was collecting money because I was over the house arrest division. And the way they did my paperwork was if I was a commissioner and able to allocate money. I was not that either. But at the end of the day, I got into a place where I entered into the presence of the Lord, and I learned how to rest in the Lord. And as I learned and as he continued and we communed day by day, I realized that God was saying, I need you. You answered my call. You said, yes, I will go where you want me to go, and I will do what you want me to do. Well, I got an assignment for you since you said yes. And that's what ended up what happening to me. And when I say it was the best 3 years of my life, it's because it was me and God. See, some of the things that I know now, I'm learning. I'm learning all over again, but I'm learning in a deeper perspective now. I'm in a deeper position now. I'm able to really truly understand what God was doing. See, it was a surface then, but I acknowledged that it was God and not Satan. I acknowledged that. And during the whole time of my trial, the Holy Spirit was talking to me, even to the point the judge had to stop. And she said, Ms. Townsend, are you all right? I said, all is well. All is well. And then she said, I don't see anything that this officer did. I'm going to dismiss this case. But the prosecution immediately jumped up and said, no, you can't do it because you didn't. Her lawyer didn't invoke some type of right. I really knew then that it was God. And I set up in my mind and I said, God, I don't know what you're getting ready to do, but I'm going to say this to you. I surrender all. I surrender all at that time. And I allowed God to use me. And because I allowed him to use me, he rewarded me with the best things. It wasn't materialistic things because he took my haughtiness. He took my boastfulness, my disrespect towards authority, my not caring about the different inmates that came through that I could have witnessed to. He took that and he had to break me down. See, he had to flip the script on me and allow me to understand that in order to serve me, you have to be humbled. And I received that. No matter how hard it was, he took my unbelieving me, that different thing, that he took my faith, the little bit of faith that I had, and he stretched it enormously because he kept giving me different tests to do different things, but I was a willing vessel to do so. And I can go on and on, but the moral of the story was I was in a comfortable place with him. I was in a place where whatever it was, whatever it needed to be, I just wanted more. I just want more of you, Father. And I sit and I was laughing with my sisters the other day. I was telling one of them, I'm afraid to say that again. But see, that's where I'm arrested at now. That's where I'm at now, where I'm at a place of peace. But I'm afraid to sit and say. And then Apostle Temple came on and he said, you cannot tell God what and how and when or whatever. He didn't say it in those words, but I'm going to tell you what came in my ear. So I had to come back and I had to like ease back and sit and say, okay, God, I'm saying yes again. And I'm not putting any stipulations on there because who am I to do that? Who am I? But I could tell you who I am today, a faithful servant that realized that I'm supposed to have an attitude of servitude. So I'm grateful on today that the teachings that I'm receiving that I may have had a surface of before, they are deeper into my life now. I understand why I had to go through the things that I had to go through. I understand that I had a surface relationship with God, and on today, my intimate relationship is steady growing day in and day out because I am a willing vessel. And I charge you today to be in that same place. I thank you for listening to my testimony. I hope that it helps somebody because I'm going to move out of the way now. And I'm going to bring Apostle Temple on, and we'll see what the Holy Spirit is going to lead us into. Good morning, Apostle Temple.
Good morning, everybody. Evangelist, you are now. You are now. Everything else before this point right here was a bunch of teaching, learning lessons for you to grow and for you to mature. Now you are now entering into the place where true ministry going to begin, because you are able to tell a story that it shook your life. See, people, you got to understand, true ministry comes from your walk of life with God, your journey of life with God. Okay, that's true ministry. Amen. So It's no different than what you read in the Bible. From Genesis to Revelation, you are reading somebody else's life. You are reading somebody else's story. With who? With God. Somebody else's journey. With who? With God. In their time period. That's true ministry. That's true ministry. You can quote all the scriptures you want, but if you never tap into your own journey, you never tapped into the things that make you shame. You never tapped into the things God had to deliver you from. If you never tapped into the things that God had to rebuke you, God had to squish you, you had to take a step back and learn and come to yourself. All you doing is shooting a bunch of nonsense and trying to fool people how saved and how sanctified you are. That's not true ministry. True ministry, when you could strip yourself naked before the people and let them know, I understand I used to be a drug addict. I used to be on the street prostitution. But you know what? God saved me and covered me. I didn't get AIDS. I didn't get an STD. That's true ministry. True ministry is the story of your life. True ministry that you could take your life and relate it to the word of God. True ministry, you could take something about you and you could begin to explain it to somebody else. It ain't how much scriptures you have and how much degrees that you got, even though Pastor got a lot of things to back him, because I have to have something to teach the people. But my true ministry is my walk of life. If I don't have anything that I walk through, how can I tell you to walk through it and how can I help you to navigate through it? If I never experienced homeless, how would I have a heart for the homeless? Y'all about to hear me up in here. If I never experienced rejection, how can I be able to help somebody else to deal with their rejection? True ministry, saints of God, it comes from who you are. It don't come from who Moses is, who Isaac, who Abraham, Paul, who Peter, who all these different characters in the Bible that you're trying to express about your education. It comes from who you are and your walk with God. It comes from when you used to be a homemonger, now you're sold out. It comes from you used to be a liar, now you're a mouthpiece from God. It comes from a place that you used to be a stealer, now you govern the things in the kingdom of God. It comes from where you was at in one place, from where God done took you into another place. It comes from a place to where you could just say, but God, but God. This is why God says, hang in there. This is true ministry. True ministry is your walk of life and your relationship of life. I take the Bible to bring reference, to bring understanding that what I'm going through, is this of God or is that and not of God? If it's not biblically, I'm sorry. I cannot receive what you're saying because it should be biblically sound. Amen? To line up with it. When God shall never leave you, I forsake you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. If you make it your bed in hell, I be there. My God Almighty, Evangelist had a bed in hell for 3 years. Where was God? God said, I will do what? I will be there. She could tell somebody, baby, it don't matter what you go through. You could be locked up. You could be stuck up. I'm telling you, God will be by your side. Y'all hear me? That's true ministry. So many people have not entered into true ministry because they are ashamed about their journeys. You don't got nothing to be shamed for. You don't got nothing to be shamed for. But my God Almighty, many of you done been through molestation. You done been through rape, and you're still ashamed. Baby, you lift your heads up because at the end of the day, you got a ministry. You got a ministry to heal that broken heart. Suicidal done came then while people done been scarred in their spirit, in their mind. You got something in you saying, if I made it, I know you can make it. I know God could be there for you. If God be for you, who could be against you? You're looking at somebody. You're talking to somebody that been through the mill wind, don't been as a hostage. You are looking at somebody that been through a nervous breakdown and had all kinds of issues. That's true ministry, saints of God. That's true ministry. That's power. Power comes from you being truthful in your walk, in your journey of life. You've been truthful of who you are. You're not trying to pull the wool over anybody's eyes, trying to be something that you're not. You are being truthful of who you are. When I say God is a provider, I'm not telling you that he ain't a provider. I'm telling you from a brother done experience being, my God, evicted, a brother done experience being repo, a brother done being experienced coming home, light shut off. Matter of fact, sitting in the living room, your light shut off. A brother done experience. And God still went. He still provided and still make a way out of no way. That's true ministry. Coming into the truth about you and casting your cares upon God. Understand that God, you know what? I still got some blood and dirt on my hand. See, a lot of folks try to hide this stuff. And this is where they get in trouble. And God got to pull the cover off their eyes because they hide who they are. And they be trying to get people to come into a place of deliverance. Well, you need to first come into the place of yourself and be honest of who you are. And who you are, amen, going to be the testimony. The testimony that going to help somebody is who you are. It's who you are. That's true ministry. And that's the area that people will get fought the most. Because the enemy do not, because when you tap into that, I feel the presence of God. When you tap into that area of being truthful who you are, you basically letting the enemy know you don't have nothing over me no more. Because I don't script. It's when you don't cover and try to hide yourself, who you are. You hiding yourself and about different things and try to keep it here. The enemy keep you in a place of hostage. He draw you deeper into your weakness. He draw you deeper into your problems, into your circumstances. You trying to hide who you are. Where are these preachers at trying to hide who you are as a homemonger, as all this stuff here? And all he does, take you deeper. Then next thing you know, the cover comes off of your, my God, offer your life. You need to let them know. I am a homemonger. Thank God for saving me. Don't try to cover up a lie that give the enemy ground to keep messing with your life. But when you strip your life as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable for God, all the power, all the influence, all the, my God, attacks that the enemy, he can't do nothing with you. Because why? He don't have nothing to hold you hostage to other than trying to get folks to allow you to persecute you and bring all kinds of false allegation against you. Other than that, for there's your life, it's, oh, my God, I'm open. That's why I don't have no shame about my journey and about my walk. I don't have a shame where I come from. Because how can I help you if I never explain and show who I am? I don't have the shame. I don't have a shame to show the scars and the wounds that is on my spirit. Because it's not about me. It's about you coming out of that tomb. It's about you coming out of that valley. It's about you coming out of that wilderness. It's about you coming out of that isolated place. It's about you coming out of that prison in your mind. It's about you coming out of these different places, because now you need to see somebody else that got a wound just like you. You need to see somebody else that got scars and hurt on their spirit just about like you, because at the end of the day, if you could see them, life is going forward. If you could see them, still got peace. If you could see them, still got joy. I understand that you're reading through the Bible of that peace bastard, all understanding. But baby, when you could see it go to work for yourself, when you could see you understand, when you could see somebody done been walked over, somebody done been, my God, put down, they done been backstabbed, when God to see that, and you can see that they still going, they lay heads lifting high, they making a joyful noise unto the Lord, they still giving him praise, they still giving him glory, baby, that should do something to you, because at the end of the day, who was I? That person is just like me. That person put on the same pants or put on the same dress that I put on. Who am I to sit here and sorrow in my nonsense and sit here and sorrow in my mess? I might as well make a joyful noise unto the Lord. I challenge everybody that is listening all over the world. My God Almighty, from South Africa, my God Almighty, to my God Almighty, to Nigeria, make a joyful noise. And at the end of the day,
say, if God be for you, who could be against you? Don't you be ashamed about where you come from. Don't you be ashamed about your journey. Don't you be ashamed about you used to be a drug dealer. Don't you be ashamed about, yeah, I used to be a homemonger. Yeah, I used to be a, don't you be ashamed where you come from, because true ministry starts with truth about who you are. The true blessings come from a place of truth. Many of you are struggling, and God got to keep crushing you and keep chastising you because you still don't want to come in. You having a hard time coming in truth about you. The enemy's still roughing you up because you don't want to come into a truth about you. You want to acknowledge everybody else. You want to see everybody else. But what is God trying to show you about you, who you are? A lot of times when God begins to show you people and begins to show you different things of people and telling you what to do pertaining to different people and different things, he's trying to teach you how to be Christ-like. He's trying to teach you how to walk in the fruits of the Spirit. He's trying to teach you, my God, character. My God, around different things, because, my God, if you talking about leading people, if you talking about doing a work for God, baby, if you can't handle being lied on, I don't know what to tell you, because you're going to be lied on for the namesake of God. If you can't handle persecution, I don't even know what to tell you, because at the end of the day, you're going to be persecuted. If you can't handle, my God, I might have been misquote, misjudged. My God, I'm sorry. This ain't a job for you, so God tell you to deal with that in the marketplace. For you can understand the truth and you can relate. Who am I to get mad at? Who am I to get mad at that brother because that brother got an issue with me? I can't forget where I came from. I had an issue with a couple of brothers myself. So I feel you, brother. It's all good. It was a misunderstanding. Who am I to get jealous or get upset about a person, my God Almighty, that don't like me? My God, who am I? Because I should understand at the end of the day, that's what the world does. That's who they bring. When people don't have the Holy Ghost, when people are not saved, even when some of them are saved, they can get off the chain. See, when you begin to come into truth about you, you begin to look at people and you begin to look at life from a different perspective. Nothing won't too much bother you because you understand. Because why? You understand you. You understand the journey. You understand the struggle. You understand where you come from. So now life begins to paint a different picture. Now you begin to see people as a different way. You begin to come and approach and begin to handle things totally different. Because you understand when you still have issues with people, you still have issues with different things. Now I'm not talking about folks that provoke you. That's one thing, because the Bible speaks about that, about folks begin to provoke you. But I'm talking about folks, just, you know, just, and you always got these issues going on. Nine out of ten, you have not came in all the way truth about your mess and who you are. But yeah, you probably was lied on. Don't forget, you was a liar. Yeah, you probably was, my God, folks probably was in a gossip session about you. Don't forget, you probably was in a gossip session about somebody else. Be truthful of who you are with no apology. Folks going to judge you anyways. Baby, they're going to judge you if you're going to tell the truth about you or if you don't tell the truth about you. They're going to have an opinion about you anyway. Amen? So at the end of the day, you might as well walk in the truth of who you are. That's ministry. That's true gossip. If you want the power of God and want to see the power of God, walk in truth about who you are. Walk in truth about your life journey. God allow it to happen that way for a reason. He'll allow you to make certain decisions for a reason. You don't have to be apologized. You don't have to be sorry. You don't have to have no regrets for what you don't went through. I don't have no regrets of anything I went through. I don't have no regrets of shoes walking, my God, with holes in my shoes. And my God, I don't have no regret being, my God, being hurt and being rejected by my own family member. I don't have no regrets. Why? Because I'm dealing with so many people got the same issue. I'm dealing with so many people, amen, still having the same issue with transportation, trying to get to point A, to point B. Now I understand how to help them, how to hold on and what to tell them to give them the truth, because I've been through it myself. I don't have no regrets. My God, I might have to sleep on park bench trying to find somewhere to lay my head. I don't have no regrets. Don't been through repo, lights turned down. I don't have no regrets, because now I can tell the church, because I've been there. I can tell our church that, hey, listen, first of all, you need to make sure your responsibilities at your home taken care of first. I understand, and I don't have no regrets. Don't have no regrets about your life. Don't have no regrets about what you done been through. Because, baby, let me tell you something. When you could take a minute, even many of you right now, you could take a minute and look back over your life and see where God done break you from. Baby, you don't have nothing to be ashamed about. You matter what, go ahead and give God a glory. Some of you used to sleep in a car. But now you probably got an efficiency, a studio, or apartment. Baby, you might as well go ahead and shout and give God a praise. Some of you used to be bankrupt. You didn't know where your next quarter of dime come from. You might had a vehicle, but all you could afford, my God, to put $3 in. But now you're riding with a half a tank or a full tank. Baby, you might as well go ahead and shout and give God a praise. Some of you, my God almighty, you probably was walking at one time. But life things happen in life. And it don't cause you to be crippled or cause you to be in a wheelchair. Baby, let me tell you something. If you still got your hands, then lift it up and say, thank you, Jesus. You might as well give God a praise. You still in your right mind. You might as well give God a praise. You don't have nothing to be ashamed about your story. You don't have nothing to be ashamed about your life. Some of you probably don't came from a, my God, dysfunctional home. Now you are moving into executive and being top of the line of your industry. You're making something and you're making a difference, my God, in your life. You don't got nothing to be ashamed about. You might as well go ahead and lift your hands and give God a glory. Some of you, my God almighty, you probably lost your mind. You probably had situations that came in like a flood and you don't lost your mind. But today you're in your right mind, and today you know what you're saying. Thank you, Jesus. Today you're giving God a praise. My God, you might as well just thank him, because if it have not been for the Lord on your side, some of you, the doctor gave up on you years ago. The doctor said this sickness is going to be from death. But my God almighty, you still here with a shout in your feet, with a praise in your hand. You got something to give God a glory. I feel a preacher, man. You got something to tell God thank you. Some of you came from a place of poverty, but now you got money in the bank. You got to lift your hands and thank you. Even though, saints, it may not be what you want them, but at the end of the day, it show not what it used to be. You might as well lift your hands and give God thank you. You don't got nothing to be ashamed about. You don't got nothing to be insecure about. You might as well lift your hands and tell God thank you. Some of you, my God almighty, you probably used to be a homemonger. You probably used to get on a pole and try to pay bills. But now you're a mother. But now you're a grandmother, and you're raising your family to be, my God almighty, something awesome. You're raising your family to be second to none. You might as well lift your hands and give God a praise. You don't got nothing to be ashamed about. You could say, yeah, I did it, and I made wrong decisions. But at the end of the day, I sure, my God almighty, don't regret where I come from. Because, my God, what I've been through, I got something to tell you. Baby, you're going down the wrong road. I've been down that road. You're going the wrong direction. I've been down that direction, because if it had not been from the Lord on my side, I don't know where I will be. You might as well lift your hands and tell God thank you. True ministry, true walk of God, true peace that passes all understanding is being truthful about you. You don't have nothing to be ashamed about. You don't have nothing to be ashamed about who you are. I used to walk around at my young years when I was going through all that. I used to have the spirit of rage. I used to have the spirit of anger. I could see it a mile away when I see other individuals. I've been there. I've been there. I've been there when the world feels like it's on your shoulder. And God had to bring me back in the proper perspective. Look at yourself. It ain't about the world. It's about you. I've been there. Rejected. Tears. Rolling down the face. Walking. Streets, miles, blocks. Tears just rolling down my face. Have you ever cried so much till your tears give you a note and say, out of order? We need to call somebody to replenish because you don't have no more moisture in your body to share, not one tear. I've been there. That's why I don't regret nothing. I lift my hand and I give God the praise. I've been there on relationship that they don't turn on you, don't cheat it, don't walk the way. I've been there. But I thank God for the wife I got now. I've been there, brothers and sisters, and I'm not ashamed to tell it. I'm not ashamed to give my story, because the story that I give, that's the true ministry. That's the true ministry that I can relate to and find relations and relate to through stories of the Bible. Your true ministry is who you are, your walk with God, your relationship with Him. It's the true ministry. It's the true walk. Don't you hold your head down another day and feel sorry about where you are in life. Lift your head up and give God the praise. Back to you, Evangelist.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I told you all, when God enters into, the Holy Spirit just takes over. And I'm just so grateful, Apostle, that you continue and throughout this week that you just poured everything out and left it there for everybody to hear. And your teaching was just remarkable. I mean, just to hear somebody be so transparent, it can't help but filter over into someone else's life. So I'm going to sit and thank you myself, if nobody else don't. Thank you for your transparency. Thank you for everything that you've been through, that and you're not ashamed to share it. Thank you, because it opens up doors for everybody else. It opens up windows. It opens up portals. It opened me up. I'm just going to say that, and I pray that everybody else can feel the same, because like Apostle say, it ain't no shame in God's world. It's no shame in God's world, and everybody needs to just, you know, grasp on and get on the train. A couple of months ago, Apostle said, just get in the car. Get in the car. You don't have to drive. All you need to do is be in the car and know that you will reach the destination. And that's where we're going to leave you all today. Just get in the car. Get in the car. Pay attention to what God is doing, what He's saying. He's speaking. He is speaking. And if you can't hear it right now, go to Him. Ask Him, unclog my ears, Lord, because I'm not getting what you're saying. I'm not hearing. I know, but I'm not. Listen, talk to God, because it's vital. It's vital. It's vital. I'm saying it is vital for your life. It's vital. So we are going to leave you. Yes, it's vital. I'm telling you, it's vital. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord, it's vital. But we're going to leave you all today. Glory be to God. We are going to leave you all today. And just praise the Lord. Just praise the Lord and ask Him, why is it vital? Ask God, because I just keep hearing the word vital. It's vital. Ask Him. Have that conversation. Ask God, why is it vital for me to hear everything? Why was it vital for me to hear every word that came out this week? Why, Father? Why? Why was it vital? What are you telling me? Where are you showing me? Where are you taking me? Why, Lord? Why? Why was this the timing for me to hear this? Asking. I'm begging you, and I'm not a beggar. I'm begging you to ask the Lord, because I promise you, you will get an answer in the name of Jesus Christ. You'll get an answer because you knocking, you asking in the name of Jesus. So we will see you all back on Sunday morning. Remember, 10:45, you need to start banging the lines because it be some folks on there that's trying to receive just what you and I are receiving now. And I know that God has something, because this week he has not withheld anything. So I can imagine what Sunday is going to bring, because he has still some days to do some downpouring. And you got a willing vessel that receives what he has to say, and has no withhold, no apologies with telling it. So we'll see you all on the line. I pray that you all have a beautiful, beautiful weekend. And even if it's a cloudy day, smile. Even if it's a rainy day, smile. Whatever type of day it is, put a smile on your face, because know whatever God has for you, it is for you. So ADM loves you, but just know that God loves you the most. Peace out. Have a great weekend.